STR Podcasts and Radio are brought to you through the generous support of people just like you. You can support these podcasts by making a gift online at str.org or by phone at 1-800-2-REASON.
Hi, I'm Greg Kokel. You know, the next three holiday intensive months will mean FaceTime with family members that you may not see very often, and these may be folks that you don't agree with spiritually either. Since conversations with folks like that can get awkward, I have a suggestion that could make your job easier. And the suggestion is very simple. Just get back to the basics. First, ask questions and listen a lot. Second, don't swing for the fences. Just try to get on base. Try to make one good point stick. That's the basics. Now, let me give you an example of how that basic approach worked for me on a 47-minute flight from Los Angeles to San Jose recently. I got on the plane and I settled in for the short hop. I really was expecting to get some work done and not get into a big conversation about my own convictions. And then a middle-aged gentleman sat down next to me. His name was Stuart, and he was a world-traveling frequent flyer, as he told me. Was in a very expansive mood, clearly wanted to chat. And as he did, he had strong opinions about religion, and these were ideas that he advanced without any invitation and without reservation. He was friendly, but he was direct. I tossed up a quick Lord help me prayer, you know, that three-word prayer that is meant to connect with God and then get back to business. And then I listened. And I waited, and I watched for an opportunity. Now, we talked the whole flight, all 47 minutes, or I should say that Stuart talked the whole flight. I listened mostly because Stuart had a lot to say. His extensive travels and his survey of world religions had convinced him that in spite of his Catholic upbringing, the teaching of every religion ultimately boiled down to the same thing. So what was the common core that he had discovered, the common truth of our religion, the real point? Well, love, peaceful coexistence, people just getting along. That was the main point of the whole thing. That was his conclusion, at least. And by contrast, those folks who thought that their own religion was the right one, those folks were the problem. And at this point, somewhere in the conversation, the word hate slipped in, along with the word racket, and he was using the word racket to describe religion's passion for passing the hat. You know, this is a great racket to make a lot of money. My three-word prayer went off again in my head after I heard those things, because here I was, a guy who thought my view was correct, and I was in, according to his terms, the racket of religion. So I prayed again, but I still listened. And every sentence I heard contained details that I disagreed with, but I realized that simply contradicting Stuart would not have helped my situation. So I just held my tongue and I waited. I was waiting for the proper opportunity. I was waiting for the moment where I could make a useful contribution. There are a lot of things I could have said. I didn't have a sense that anything at that point would have been useful. I did express concern that he might have missed the main point of these different religions. I also mentioned that the existence of racketeers in religion doesn't make all religion a racket, and this he grudgingly agreed to. But other than that, I didn't say much. In fact, I said almost nothing. I let him talk because, again, I'm looking for my opportunity. Eventually, Stuart asked what religion I was. He hadn't brought that up earlier. It hadn't come up. I said I was a Christian, and then he kind of grunted, "So, you're saying 90% of the people in the world are wrong and going to hell." Well, I hadn't said that yet. I also that wasn't the battlefield that I wanted to fight on. That wasn't the hill I wanted to die on right now, because this guy was a pluralist. And he's not going to be open at all to this view, the exclusivity of Christianity, unless I can show him that there's something wrong with pluralism taken as a whole to begin with. And so when he said that to me, I didn't take the bait. I simply said, "Well, I didn't say that. I just don't think they all can be right." Now, Stuart was unruffled by this comment. In fact, at this point, he glanced sideways at me, and he smiled kind of a self-satisfied smile. He's clearly impressed with his own musings and asked this, So do you think I've done a good job thinking this through? It's clear that he thought he had done a good job thinking this through. But now I had my opening. I said, well, Stuart, since you asked, I don't think you have. I don't say this with any animosity. In response to the startled look that replaced his smile. He didn't get angry, by the way, because I was answering him. I wasn't attacking him. I said, I don't say this with any animosity, and you have done a lot of thinking about it, but no, I don't think you've thought through the issue well. And then I explained why. For example, you've considered what seem like similarities in religion, right? But what are the differences? Look, when you think about it, Islam's not really about love. It's about submission. Christianity is not really all about love, but forgiveness. Buddhism is not about love, but escaping suffering. Hinduism is not about love, but escaping the illusion of the world. I mean, love may be significant in each, but it's not the central message of each. Why think, I said to him, that this kind of modest similarity is more important than the massive differences? Also, I added, as to your comment about 90% being wrong, I don't see how anyone can avoid that. It doesn't matter how much love you have for people. Look, maybe my religion is the one that's mistaken. Maybe they're all wrong. But even if one group gets it right, and I don't care, pick anyone, it doesn't matter which, if just one of them is right, that means all the rest, 75 to 90% of the people on the planet, got it wrong. It's not hate. It's just simple math. So when we landed in San Jose, our chat came to a friendly close. I shook Stuart's hand. I wished him all the best and then quietly entrusted him to God. I don't know that I hit any home runs. I don't know that I even got on base in his case. I did know that I got up to bat and took a few good swings at the pitches that he sent my way, and it was up to God to make the difference from then on out. So here's my advice for you in your holiday encounters. And it relates to two things that stood out for me about this encounter. First, I waited a long time before jumping in with both feet. I said a few things, but I really didn't execute a plan of response until I'd listened for a while and found a place to get in. That doesn't always happen, by the way. Sometimes I never find a place to get in. The Lord doesn't seem to provide that. I didn't sound off the first time I heard something I disagreed with. I waited for the right moment. And when I wasn't sure the best way to maneuver, I chose silence and attentive listening. I didn't mind waiting a little longer. So there was patience that was involved. I didn't jump in. Second, when my opportunity arrived, I was genial, I was friendly, but I was direct. I gave Stuart one main thing to think about. I put a stone in his shoe, a stone in his shoe. Sometimes you can do more than that, but in these tough situations, you look to get one thing. I wanted him to see that it just didn't add up to say that all religions were true. We can all be wrong, but we can't all be right. And so this is the advice that I'd give you for your own encounters during this holiday season. First, shoot up a quick prayer for help, then be patient. Listen a lot, ask plenty of questions, and wait for the right opportunity before weighing in. The second thing is, take whatever God gives you if he gives you something. Even if it's less than you hope for, don't swing for the stands, just try to get on base. Try to make one good point. Try to give them something worth thinking about, a stone in their shoe. It's not really that tricky. It just takes getting back to the basics. And STR understands the basics. I mean, we've been sticking to them for over 18 years. Basics like building relationships with people like you, so God can provide for each of us spiritually and financially. We help you spiritually, training you to become an ambassador for Christ, ready and willing to engage your world. And then, of course, we rely on God moving in you to help support Stand to Reason's work. It's that simple. Your gift to us, your financial gift this month, puts you on the team. And in a very real sense, you will be with me in my next conversation, whether I'm chatting on a plane or training in a church, wherever it happens to be, you're there in virtue of your help, showing that Christianity is worth thinking about. And one other thing to help equip you spiritually and in appreciation for your support this month, I'd like to send you my new book. Here's the title, Ancient Words, Reflections on the Reliability and Proper Use of Scripture. It's a brand new collection of some of my writings over the past several years that focus on the use of the Bible. And I trust it will provide you with a grist for the mill, so to speak, as you seek to grow as an ambassador. As you send your gift, just request your copy of Ancient Words. And thanks so much for your support. I'm Greg Kokel for Stand to Reason.
You've been listening to Stand to Reason. Our podcasts and radio program are made possible by friends of this ministry through their generous support. You can support STR by making a gift online at str.org.